sometimes it's a process of humbling ourselves in obedience to God, knowing that I'm obeying God and this is difficult, this is hard, this humbles my pride, but at the end, I know that God is going to do something.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host today, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Pastor Mark, this has been a very challenging and encouraging message in a great series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. And you're talking to us about vision. Your message today is called What Do You See? This is the second half. And really, our vision for our life, it does determine our destiny. And some people they've really locked into where they're at. And God's starting, even through this word, is starting to open up their eyes to a new possibility.
Absolutely. And so this is an incredible story of a man that not only receives his physical sight, but receives his spiritual sight. Mm. And I think that there are people right now listening to this message that God is going to speak to through this second half of the message. It's been said that the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Mm. I'm convinced that God wants to restore vision to some people here today. And you may be driving in your car right now and you're just surviving in life, but you have no vision for your life, no vision for your future, no vision for your family. You may have somehow the enemy swooped in and stole the clarity of thought, vision for your future and your destiny. I believe that God is a restorer, and I believe that God wants to restore vision to people today.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have big ideas, and there's people out there that are godless, and they have big ideas for their life. Is that what you're talking about? Do people just need to get a better idea for their life?
Not a better idea. I'm talking about a God-given vision and destiny for your life. I don't believe that we make up our vision. I believe that we discover it. I don't believe that that's up to you. I believe that it's up to you pressing into God to discover it. And, you know, some people get into this and they get rejected. And we're going to find out in this story today how this man, when he recovered his vision, he actually experienced some rejection and how God is actually able to use that rejection as one of our greatest opportunities to propel us into our future.
Amen. Excited to open the Word with you today. It's John chapter 9, verse 1 through 41, second half of the message titled, What Do You See?
If you're in junior high in a playground and kids spit in your face, that was the worst offense. They spit at you. That was the worst thing that they could do to you. Because spit is just not, it's kind of gross. And Jesus takes two things that we usually try to wash off, that we usually consider unsanitary, spit and mud. And he mixes the two and actually puts it on this guy's eyes. He makes mud out of spit, and he rubs it on the eyes of a blind man. Now, how many of you know that we tend to sanitize Scripture? But spit is spit, whether it's Jesus' spit or anybody else's spit. So I just kind of imagine the blind guy standing there, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if he made any noise or what. I don't know what it sounded like. Come on, don't sanitize it. There's just sort of a spit on the ground. And the blind man saying, like, hey, what's going on here? What's going on? And the disciples are going, ooh, gross. His friends are saying, nasty. Jesus is rubbing his feet, rubbing his hand there. And then he goes to the blind man. His friend says, hey, watch out, dude. This guy, you know, and then he rubs it on. Oh, nasty. And I just wonder, why would Jesus do that? I mean, this guy's already humiliated as it is. He's already broken as it is. He seems like he's already down as it is. This is like kicking a guy when he's down. Jesus, why would you do this? Here's what I want you to know. Nothing in Scripture happens out of coincidence. There's a purpose and a plan in every story in Scripture. Every story that you read in Scripture has a meaning to it. There's a message to it. A profound, powerful lesson that reveals the heart of God and says something about us. Now, there's a lot of scholars, I've read a lot of commentaries on why people assume that Jesus spit. Some people believe that Jesus was defying the Pharisees of the day because it actually happened on the Sabbath, and to spit on a Sabbath was against the laws of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious, strict religious leaders that made rules upon rules upon rules. And they believed that no work should be done on the Sabbath. And so they made rules about not working on the Sabbath. And so they believed that if you spit, you made mud. And making mud was work. And people, when they do bricks, they mix mud with dirt. And so it could be considered as work. So it was forbidden to spit on the Sabbath. It was also forbidden to look in the mirror on the Sabbath. You say, why? Well, if you look in the mirror, this is true. The Torah explains this. You look in a mirror, you could see that solitary gray hair. And if you look in a mirror and see that solitary gray hair, you'd be tempted to pluck that hair. Like, no. And if you pluck that hair, it would be considered work. So you weren't allowed to look in the mirror just in case you were tempted to work. That's seriously, that's a rule. I never had that problem, by the way, but... But I believe there was something much deeper than trying to aggravate the Pharisees happening here. I believe that Jesus had a purpose and a plan for this man. You see, what happens in this passage is that Jesus is initiating a miracle. But just because Jesus initiates a miracle doesn't mean that the miracle is complete until we join in the process of completing that miracle. Jesus could heal anybody however he wants to heal. In scripture, Jesus sometimes healed someone without even being present. He said, be healed, and they were miles away and were healed. Jesus sometimes pronounced healing on someone and they were healed. Jesus sometimes touched the person and they were healed. So Jesus could have healed this blind man however he chose to heal him, but he decided, I'm going to make mud and put it on his eyes. Because I want to start the miracle, but let you know that the miracle will not be completed. It will not come to fruition. It will not manifest itself until between the mud and the manifestation, there is a walk of humiliation. And so this man has to get up with a bunch of people watching him. And he has to walk down the road because Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he walks with mud on his face. Imagine the humiliation. What is driving him is this fact that I believe what Jesus said is true. And I'm willing to walk down a path of obedience no matter how hard it is or humbling it is, because I believe at the end of this path, there is liberation and healing and a miracle. So I will walk even down this path of humiliation, believing God and trusting him that he will do what he said he will do. God started a process of transformation, liberation, healing, forgiveness, in your life. And now the miracle was started, but it's not manifest. You're in the walking phase and it can be hard. You're in the walking phase in which you have to forgive someone that's really hard, and it's humbling to forgive them because you want to hold them in debtor's prison, but you believe that God has asked you to forgive them and that there will be freedom at the end and God will set you free. And so you're walking in humiliation as you walk towards that in obedience to God. You see, I believe that sometimes it's in the process of humiliation. Sometimes it's a process of humbling ourselves in obedience to God, knowing that I'm obeying God, and this is difficult, this is hard, this humbles my pride, but at the end, I know that God is going to do something. Some of you have had to come and get on your knees here at this altar and admit, I have a problem that I can't solve, that only God can solve. And it's humbling for people to see you do that and other people praying over you. Some of you have had to humble yourself. You're asking for a miracle in your marriage and God says, okay, I'm going to do something. I'm going to change your heart, but you need to get marriage counseling. And it's humbling to sit in front of a counselor and talk about your issues and your out of control anger and your dysfunctional marriage and the fact that you have a hard time showing affection to your wife and that there's resentment. And some of you have to go through the difficult process of counseling, the humbling process of counseling. Some of you, God has started a miracle in your life, but you know what? You have to go to a 12-step program and you have to sit there and admit, I have a problem in my life. I have an addiction. And it's challenging to overcome my addiction. And this addiction overwhelms me. And it's worse than I want to admit, but it's hard. It's difficult. And I have to admit that I do have a problem and that I do need help and that I have hurt the people beside me and around me and in my circle. And it's humbling to go down that process of saying, I want liberation, but I believe at the end, I will be set free. It's humbling to repent and to admit that we've been wrong. And that we sinned against God. But we believe at the end that God will wash us and cleanse us and make us new. This blind man is walking with mud on his face. And here's what I want you to know, people. You know, none of us want mud on our face. Hello? None of us want to walk down that path. And what I've discovered is that many of us, yeah, we want the miracle, but we don't want the mud. We want the sight, but we don't want to take the steps. We want the washing, but we don't want to do the walking. And so many of us never get our liberation. We never get the miracle. We never get the traumatic change in our life. We never get that moment of God encounter because we stop halfway down the road and we say, this is too hard. This is too difficult. God, why don't you change me now? And God is telling some of you, keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking in obedience. I know you haven't seen the change that you wanted yet, but keep walking. Keep walking. Well, God, this is hard. Keep walking. Keep forgiving. Keep staying true. I want to bail out. Stay on the course. Keep going to the pool. Don't give up. Keep taking the next step because God will ultimately fulfill his promise. If God said he's going to heal you, God is going to heal you. If God said he's going to change you, God is going to change you. If God said he's going to deliver you, God will bring it about. But keep going to the pool. Number three, not only do you need to take a new look and your hindrance may be an advantage, your humiliation may be the road to liberation. But take another look because your impossibility is truly God's possibility. This blind man goes to the pool, mud on his eyes, people watching. He splashes his face at the pool. And for the first time in his life, when he opens his eyes, he actually sees color.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, What Do You See? It's from our series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 9. His message, What Do You See?
Yeah, he sees color. He's like, wow, this is blue. Awesome. Man, green. I've never seen this. He looks in the face of his friends and he says, wow, I never knew you looked like that. Like, you're a lot uglier than I thought you looked. No, this is... I never envisioned your eyes that way. Wow, I thought you were real big and tall and you're kind of short. Wow. I never saw a sunset. I didn't know what light meant. For the first time, his eyes were opened to a new world. And that's what God does when he begins to transform our lives and change us around. But when the impossible becomes possible in God. And then when he walks back, there ensues a big debate, a argument over, he goes back and he shows himself, he goes back to the synagogue and the Pharisees who are the religious leaders start saying, hey, what happened to you? Who did this? And he says, Jesus. And well, he's not supposed to do it on the Sabbath. And how did he do it? He made mud. He's not supposed to make mud. And are you sure he did it? They bring in his parents and And they grill the parents. Are you sure this is your son? And how did he get healed? And who did this to them? And it ends up in this big argument. Is this the guy? Was he really blind? You see, sometimes when God works in your life so deeply and so powerfully, there are times when it seems like it is impossible for us to really change. And when God changes us around, the impossible becomes possible. He says his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging ask, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claim that he was. Others says, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man, they ask, and he said, I don't know. I want you to know this. I just want you to see this point. You may be here today feeling like, I think it's impossible for me to change. I want you to know that God is the God of the impossible. You may be sitting next to someone or have a loved one in your life, and you think it would be impossible for them to ever break out of the pattern that they're in. I want God to infuse into your mind faith and the possibility that nothing is too hard for him to do. There are people that are sitting here today and worshiping with us that had people around them that never believed it would be possible for them to ever change or come around. There are some of you sitting here with a Bible in your hand that 10 years ago people would say, no way. There are people that walk into this auditorium and they see some of you and they say, them? Wow, there is a God in heaven. Because God is the God that takes that which seems impossible and he does something possible with it, because nothing is too difficult for God. It tells us in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Number four, and lastly, take a new look. Your rejection could be your greatest opportunity. Then it went on to say that because of this man's testimony of Jesus' transformation, the Pharisees literally kicked the blind man out. They threw him out of the synagogue. They said, we don't believe you. We don't want to accept it. Get out of the synagogue. So they threw him out of the synagogue. They rejected him. And it says, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus found him after he was rejected and thrown out of the synagogue. Can I tell you this? This is really important. You know, sometimes your rejection can be the greatest thing that ever happens to you, because sometimes it's your rejection that leads to your greatest doors of opportunity. Not everybody's going to be happy when God changes you. Not everybody's going to be happy with the new you. Can I tell you something? Some people love the broken, dysfunctional beggar you. They understand when you're broken, dysfunctional, and needy. They've lived with that their entire life. They like that. They have a relationship of you're the beggar and they're the strong one. They understand that. They like, they're comfortable with that. But when you finally discover, I'm not a beggar anymore, when you take the cup and throw it away, when you stand up and dust yourself off, they don't know what to do with the healthy you. They know how to relate to the broken you, the beggar you, but they don't know how to relate to the new you, the you with a value, with dignity, with courage. Listen, I'm talking to some, yeah. Listen, I'm talking to some young woman right now. That your boyfriend, he knows how to relate when you're the beggar, dysfunctional, needy, broken girl that needs him to affirm you, that is needy, needy, and he's got to tell you, and he can kind of treat you the way he wants to treat you and then convince you that you just better be glad you have him in your life. because you're a beggar and beggars don't deserve much and beggars need other people. And so, you know, he knows how to deal with you when your self-esteem is so low and you don't have a mind of your own and you don't have courage and you don't have values and you have to get it from him, and where he beats you down verbally and treats you like very little, but because you're a beggar, you accept it and you're just so happy that you have crumbs from his little table because you're the beggar and he's the giver. And he's comfortable with that. But when you start realizing, no, I'm a woman of God. I've been washed and cleansed. I have dignity, worth, and value. I'm a daughter of the Most High King. He knows my name. I don't need a man to make me feel valuable. I am valuable because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has washed me, cleansed me. He knows me. He is my Father. You see, when you stand up and you're no longer the beggar woman, he doesn't know how to treat you anymore. He doesn't know how to respond to you anymore because you have value, dignity. Listen, there are guys that hate this church because their girlfriend suddenly got saved and now she's not sleeping with them on the weekend because now she believes my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit and I don't just give away my body to anybody. I've had guys that want to punch me out and I don't even know them. I have nothing to do with them. They just know that their girl has changed because she started coming to church and now she's got an opinion and values and dignity and worth and she knows who she is and they don't like it. You see, God wants to change you from a beggar. And he opens up your eyes and says, no, you're not a beggar. I'm changing your identity. I'm altering who you are. Embrace it. You know, I believe that, and I close with this, listen. This man, this blind man, Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he says, who is he? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe. And Jesus said, you now see him. In fact, he who is speaking to you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. Let me make one last point here before we close. This man knew that God had done a miracle in his life, but he was not a follower of Jesus. We made the point last week, you can be a generic worshiper of God, but not a real, authentic follower of Jesus. There are some people in this auditorium that you can say, oh yeah, God has been involved in my life. I should be dead by now. God spared me from this. God did this. God opened that door. God answered my prayer. And you are a generic worshiper of God, but you don't even know who Jesus is. You have never chosen to follow Jesus. This blind man had been healed by Jesus, but he wasn't a follower of Jesus. Some of you have, God has seen you for years, been active in your life, answering prayers, orchestrating your destiny, opening doors, merging things together, watching over you, protecting you, and you give him lip worship to the generic God, but you have never said, yes, Jesus, I need to follow you. The greatest way to be a worshiper of God is to embrace his Son. And Jesus said, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. I want to help you move from being a generic worshiper of God to an authentic follower of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must repent and believe. And the first steps of those that follow Jesus are baptism. Repent, believe, and be baptized. Repent means I know I'm going in the wrong way and I need to turn around. Believe means I know that Jesus is the Son of God, all God and all man. He died for me. He's the one that can cleanse me, wash me. I need the power of God to be changed and even to be saved. That's what it means to believe.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church with the second half of his message entitled, What Do You See? It's from his current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Join us again for the next message called When You Think It's Over. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.